Hello everybody, Brian here from quantlabs.net. Normally I'd be streaming videos, but good old Facebook decided to restrict me because I talk too much about Bitcoin, and I'm sure they didn't like me making a few comments about Beijing Biden. So that's going to be back in a week, but that doesn't matter. I will consider Facebook dead and use more YouTube for now. Still trying to find the alternative now that are good friends, not good friends, but people, our alternatives have been yanked off the internet. Yay. All right, so let's get back into our analysis here. So right here is what I just posted, as you can see here, 43 minutes ago. How is Bitcoin, Ethereum, altcoins been doing? So right now, today is, because I love it so much, 3:19. In the morning, January 17th, Sunday, Eastern Standard Time. So let's go over to what's been happening on the tech front of what I've been working on. So here, what we've got are a couple of things. I've noted in this video that Bitcoin has had a crash, about 10%. Meanwhile, the bot, Binance bot for the last few hours, has been doing pretty good. $1.41, not much, with 10% return. That's pretty good, considering here when you look at the big five, are in yet another never-ending dip. In this video here, I just mentioned on YouTube, at my channel at Quant Labs, you'll find I've got a couple of coins in there that have done four-time return, a 12-time return of one of them, and some of them haven't been hit by the latest dump of Bitcoin. So that proves that some of these coins could do really well, continue to do well, and the bot, namely in Binance, can do well, considering we have a pretty down day. So I'll be tweaking the bot for that because we've definitely entered into a new market regime. So I want to talk about more of the technical. A lot of people, including my customers, have been watching me for the longest time. I appreciate that. Here's where the problem's been. We've been working with Flask from Python, or it's a Python open source web framework. And it works really good. Originally, I was going to just keep it to Redis that I hope would work. Didn't work there. A lot of people say, well, why don't you try ZeroMQ? Didn't work there either. These are message queuing. And they drop messages. So half of it, from a security point of view, with Flask is pretty good. It's beyond lightweight. It's just no different than HTTP, serving up a website, and all I do is just serving up JSON on the latest signal and then delivering that into a queue, into the trading client, which is enabling you to automatically trade. So that's been how it's worked, but it's been all delivered by this Flask. Now, when you're dealing with Flask, you have different web servers. We have Apache, we have more Lightspeed, lots of options out there, but there's Python as well, specific Python ones for frameworks like the Django and Flask. Now, just to give you an example, Instagram is written in Python. The original server, when I started testing this on my other server, which was the host of my hosting company, they're just too small to do this kind of work. They're very limited. The technical, they're just not there. But lo and behold, as I mentioned in one of my posts in the last 2 days, I believe, I've been looking at one service outside. And I've already talked about AWS, we've got AWS, we've got Azure for Microsoft and Google Cloud. And I will tell you, when you look at the latest, what happened a week ago with Parler, they've just been wiped away off of AWS. More and more people I talk to are not using AWS, any of these big three cloud providers. A lot of trend now that's being talked about is to get off of all things US. Because of this cancel culture, people it's scared a lot of people. So now people are moving out of not just the US, also moving out of the EU. So they're trying to find alternative sources to host fairly large websites. For me, I'm okay. I'm just a little dinky, you know, Flask application serving up to a tiny amount of customers. So there's this big movement to move off of Western-controlled, regulated server providers because of this cancel culture. So what's happening is one company came up out of Switzerland that will not really allow this BS. It's what's happening in the West with this political identity, culture world, whatever you want to call it, because it's being hit on the technology fronts at first. So a lot of companies and a lot of people that I've been talking over the last week have been really threatened by this. And a lot of them are moving out of the European, EU, and US, and West, North America, I should say. So that's number one. But for me, I'm just doing little crypto. So as I said, there's like the first top three tier cloud providers. And then there's next level, which are like developer friendly. There's Vulture, who I've tested and stuck to so far, so good. These are really cheap servers that you can do. You have Vulture, DigitalOcean, and what's the other one? Linode. And they're all US based. I don't think we need to really whole lot worry about political identity with these smaller companies. They're aggressively wanting the level of business that the top three are not giving. And part of the other problem is when you go with a lot of these big three companies, another big trend that's happening is a lot of people don't want to be using their proprietary technology. So for instance, if you're with AWS, you don't want to use Lambda functions or whatever else they give you that's proprietary and only proprietary to AWS or Amazon. Because if you do get booted off, now you have to do a rewrite in a lot of your core services. And a lot of people don't want to do that. So they're moving away from those companies. If it's Microsoft Technologies or Google, companies will move away from it. There's no purpose for it. From what I've seen with these other three companies, DigitalOcean, Vulture, and Linode, are a really good alternative for now. I don't think they'll get caught up in the culture wars. So I've tried DigitalOcean. There's problems there. The reviews that I saw on Reddit were pretty tearing apart the company for the lack of customer service, but when I looked at the technical and the way that the servers were deployed, how I saw how they were performing, I didn't like it. So I got rid of that pretty quick. Then I moved over to Vulture, V-L-U-T-R, this company here, which I've talked about, V-L-U-T-R. You just get a server. That's all you get. You can also choose the type of service you want. So I'm just a basic cloud compute, just a basic, but I can easily move it to high performance. So it's very scalable, and I can also move from my data server to something else pretty quickly. It's really good, but again, it's just the bare-bone Linux operating system connected to the internet with nothing on it, really. And they also have the same thing with Windows. And they're really cheap. You can get them as low as, I think on this one, it's $2.50, depending upon bandwidth, amount of storage, how much processing you need, how much memory, da-da-da-da. I'm the $20 one for now. It's really cheap. So that's what I'm with. And you have to also install, getting on the geek on here, you have to install your own firewall, all the hardening of the service. You have to take care of that yourself. This is not managed, okay, by Vulture. There's no support. I mean, they may give you some support, but I have seen the pricing for this with Vulture where the support is kind of like next day, 24-hour level of support. So if you want, let's say, moving into like the next hour, your support level moves up as at a cost of $1,000 per month. So that obviously works, but it's a good place to start, I think. But here's the server configurations. This one I got right here, 80 gig, 2 CPU, 4 gig of memory, $20 a month. Pretty good. So that's who I'm with right now. Pretty happy. And I'm going to show you what I've put on it right now. So I'm testing this out locally. There's no point in me testing this on the server when I pay for it. Once I'm satisfied with this code, then I move it over to the server. And the only thing I really test on that is the connection between the trading client that I give customers and everything else will be sitting on the server. So here's the server point. So a couple of things here. I mentioned earlier about production servers for Python. There's a couple of options here. And it's what led me to, I'd say, a two-week delay. The code works. The code works from a Flask application, works. I've also highlighted in my blog and other various posts regarding queuing. I figured a way, and I don't know how, but I'll call it luck, to find an article about something called server-side events. Okay, so that can be issued from the server through HTML5, and I can do that through Flask and issue that as an event, and that event will get sent out no different than being on a queue. So I'm using that technology, which doesn't seem to be popular, and it works. So that's what the client, trading client, receives, is that signal, and that's how it's delivered through this SSE, server-side event. So from there, what I've done is I've developed the Flask application, which works. It's kind of simple. All it does is takes a JSON object and sends out the JSON object to the client server, and then the trading client will then receive the signal, parse it up, and then submit the order either for Kraken or Binance. It's pretty straightforward, very lightweight, low maintenance, and it works from the local point of view. So where the problem came in, being new to this, are the different Python level web servers. Okay, this is where the problem hurts. There's different ones. I started with one called Waitress, which is written in C. Don't get sexist on it. That's just the name of it. So it's called Waitress. And it worked for a little bit, so I took it all the way to the level of running it on my other server, which was my hosting provider. That became an issue because it started to issue exceptions. And the exception was like the socket would get knocked out. So it's one of those typical, very non specific exception messages. But what was suggested I did was to go through the Waitress source code in Python at least go through the source code on the GitHub, and I found where the error came from and the exception came from. And basically what was happening is there was too many requests coming in from like only two trading clients being run at the same time. And that overwhelmed the Python server called Waitress. So if I had 10 people or 20 people or even 100 people, this thing would not have worked. Now I know why Waitress is not promoted as a top production level server to serve up Python, Flask, and Django applications. So originally I started looking at one called UWGI. Let's make sure I got that correct. So when you look up a UWGI server, these here are Python projects that you can, other languages, but Python as well, be able to serve up Flask or the Django Python applications. This could work, but the configuration is just a nightmare. And if you look up on Google, why did Instagram move from UWGI to this other one called Unicorn? And here's the Quora message. Couple things here. Keep it simple. Don't reinvent the wheel, blah, 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 blah. So that is what Instagram did. They were originally on UWSGI, and they just said this is too much as the service grew. Because you have to configure a lot. It's very powerful, but you have to configure it. So what they did instead, they moved to Junicorn. So Junicorn is easier to manage, easier to configure, and I'll show you why. So a couple things here. To run it, right here, Junicorn, I can specify. So I have my Python code, which is either in a WGSI Python file that will dictate this is the entry point of this application. Then there's the app code called, it could be any name you want, but I just followed the same methodology of calling it app. So that's the name of my app. My server code is called app.py. I'm not going to show you that, but there's that. And then in the same call, you can have it bind to your location. If it's IP, the port, the name of the application, in this case called app. And then what will happen is you will get these exceptions here, worker timeout. And those can be pretty bad. So the fix was to add in another one called a worker class and have the G event sort of help out in the multi-processing, because you want to focus on the Flask code, the server, not the server code, but the code, the application code. That's what you want to focus on, the business logic if you're a Java guy. So that's what I'm talking about. You just want to focus on that. I'm the same way. So here, I have these utilities like gvent, now Junicorn, on serving up this Flask app. And you can see here, I can specify the amount of workers I want. And here, as part of the process, it will boot up two workers for me. So as I scale up the service, I can just add more workers to the Junicorn server instance, okay, and then still be able to bind to the same address using the same application code and having, call it improved multi-threading as well. So I still get these messages, not as much as I used to. And then what will happen is it will then do its original startup and then be able to serve up the signals. So here are some of the signals working. And again, it's a very down market. Okay. As I've shown you in the risk here, let me show you here. So let me just rerun this. These are the top five coins or big coins. And just... it's very negative, like it's all five or down, -2%. And these are hourly, so these are not good, but it can come back. But anyways, we're not here to talk about that. So that is this coin. So right now, we've got two applications, two Python scripts that will serve up the Kraken bot, because there's the entry and then there's the exit. But I've been able to get that running in one Python file for the Binance. Okay, just because based upon how they've been designed from the Exchange API level. So currently it's working for sure on Binance. And I know that because here, this is the trading application now, okay? So For my customers that are watching this, there will be a third code walkthrough, don't you know? That's because it's now changed up a bit. The parsing's, it hasn't changed much, but I want to put up the latest code up there and do another excuse me, another source code walkthrough. And once you understand this, apparently I had two customers say, oh, yeah, it's very straightforward, and I keep it that way. The first version was a nightmare with all the crazy parsing. But now it's much easier. And it's kind of the same. It hasn't really changed a whole lot. But essentially what it does, it will receive the signal, be it an entry or an exit, and be it if it's for Binance or for Kraken. So it seems to be working. So, you know, nothing's crashed. I'm not seeing any exceptions being thrown. But again, that's being run locally. The real test will be when I put this on the Vulture server and have it serve up over the internet between where the server is located and my location. Just so you know, a couple things about Vulture. They're very good. I'm in Toronto, Canada. They have a location here, data farm for Toronto. You have to be very cognizant of where you choose your server location. Let me show you Vulture. I've done enough research on Vulture to say they look good. So they have 17 data centers throughout the world. Now, for me, as I said, if this thing grows like immense, I have the core code. I can easily spin up new servers and launch them. Let's say I'm picking up quite a bit of interest in both Asia and Australia. So I can easily spin up the same code onto these server locations. Okay. So that means then I can say, oh, I got a bunch of people, I don't know, Seoul or Singapore and have serve up for that crowd. Okay. So with the ability being able to pinpoint server locations with code for certain regions throughout the world, I can do that to help reduce latency for customers out of certain regions. I can do that. The other thing is I wanted to mention about with Toronto versus, let's say, New Jersey. This is the first location, I believe, for Vulture. This one has DDoS protection. Denial of service, Toronto doesn't. So just one thing to note that certain locations may not have that. That's something I would obviously get. So that's pretty well it. And it's looking better than what it was before. But I wanted to just highlight why there's been one delay after another, after another, after another. So I'm hoping this trading client's done, finally, with a proper server location. And having the availability for customers to be able to finally get automated trading. Now, let me mention that. If you watch this video here, there might be people out there worried about crypto not being the hot asset class anymore. If you watch this video again, it's called How is Bitcoin, Ethereum, Altcoins Been Doing on YouTube. You watch that video, you'll see certain coins have moved, let's see here if I can find one. I'll play a video, like maybe right here. Okay, let me just find a better one. Yeah, let me just pull this one. This is a good one. So you got a 4-time return, Bitcoin has crashed, and you can see in this chart, it barely budged. There's other coins that I have that have gone nothing but up after the crash. So some of these coins have kind of gone against the norm, and what I'm also seeing is that Ethereum is starting to come back and get back to the point of recovery on the last crash. But more importantly, as I predicted in January, because of Ethereum 2, a lot of these DeFi coins are starting to show themselves by giving you these crazy returns. And that's why I think we're starting to get these returns here of some positive when the markets are doing really negative moves on among the big five. That's usually the case. So right now, as I said, with crypto, Bitcoin had its run. It may come back. It may not. Ethereum looks like it's still going to continue with that momentum. And I'm able to just say, okay, don't trade Bitcoin. Just focus on Ethereum for now. And then that's for Kraken. And then let the DeFi coins run, as I showed you in that video. And those are starting to show themselves. And they're not just running like a 10% return. We're talking, there was one, as I said, that was high as 800 time return. And they have not shown any form of getting hit with negative performance like Bitcoin and some of these other coins like Litecoin, Ethereum, and Ethereum Classic or whatever, or Bitcoin Cash, because they all kind of move together. But generally, there are always coins out there that are doing very well. And as I said, I've shown those. So the Binance bot could still, I wouldn't say outperform, but it's still hopefully going to give you some nice profit. And as I said, as I work out the communication, the message queuing for the trading client, for the signals, I'm still going to have to go in and tweak things for the next regime that is quite clear to me that has been in full effect now for, I would say, 4 or 5 days. So I'm aware of it. I'm not going to focus on those big coins like Bitcoin, because I'm not saying that the momentum's died. I don't think it has. But there's two events that's caused that. The one cause is the U.S. dollar. I think it's also the lead up to the inauguration. That might have an effect. Because if the U.S. dollar performs, crypto doesn't perform. That's one thing. And with Bitcoin, I think it's run its first leg up from, in our case, $16 all the way up to 40 grand in 2 months. Like, who's going to complain about that, right? So if it does drop, and it's dropped about close to 10%, there may be another leg up. And the momentum may continue, but I'm prepared to see that Ethereum's starting to move and continue momentum, but that may get hit. But I do think that the DeFi will continue to perform fairly well. And I've just shown in that video that DeFi is doing quite well in certain coins. Privacy coins are doing okay, like especially Zcash lately. Cardano's done okay. Stellar's done okay. So still some coins doing quite well. So I wouldn't stress it, and there's going to be a lot of skeptics. I'm seeing a lot of skeptics out there. And in a way, if I got restricted on Facebook, there might be a reason for it. Because if I post more about Bitcoin, the skeptics are going to go, oh, I told you so. Well, who are they? Why do I care about them? Because they're not the ones giving you from 16 grand to 700K in 2 months. Okay, if I followed those idiots, I think we'd still be selling hot dogs like they do and taking the bus to go to their local hot dog stand. So I don't want to be caught up in that negative, skeptical view of the market. So there's opportunity still in crypto. And as I said before, I do recognize that commodities are going to come around. So we're going to start getting really as fast as possible. I think realistically, it'll take a couple of months to do futures and options. But I will tell you this. I just talked to another customer today who's been with me for a couple of years, and I told him, I said, look, dude, options and futures are the place to be, but the courses I'm going to put out there, the UC Davis course, that one covers everything. It covers not just from the speculation point of view, okay, not from the retail trade, the guy who buys options, okay? It also focuses, half the course focuses on the selling side as well, the guy who writes the option. Because you understand what they go through and what goals they set, you can help find counteractive ways to go against what they're trying to do to help screw you. And if you understand those processes, then you'll be able to find ways to defend yourself when you have open option positions. So understanding both sides is very important. But most people, I'd say 90% of people, get clobbered because they don't understand what the other side's doing. So that course covers it. It's free. I'm going to have that on my chat server. So where does, if like again, it's, I'm getting off of Facebook. I'm getting off a lot of social media, WhatsApp. I'm not closing Facebook, but don't expect me to be on that because I won't. Messenger out for sure. Instagram may post once in a while on there. YouTube. We got to watch YouTube because they're, but I do use Rumble, which is proven to be okay. And then, as I said, from the whole point of that, what I just said is that if you want to get onto the private chat server, that's the place where everything's going to happen. My private chat server, where I'm going to talk about this futures and options course and hopefully get a study group going out of that. So there's that. If you want to know more about the crypto trend, just go over to quantlabs.net/questions. I'm doing this now, and I'm finding it very important because I don't want to bring in the wrong people. As an example, I just found out a guy runs a fund. He wants to use my signals to sell to his customers. He gets all the reward thinking he's a genius and being able to resell my signals for his benefit in his own fund or whatever he's got going on, which isn't obviously fair to me. So I have to be careful and know who you are and know your story before I bring you into this. So there's that. So if you want to know more, as I said, go to quantlabs.net/questions, get those filled out, and send the answers to here. No other way to get in. That's it. I have to protect my own ass from a lot of angles. And last, if you don't care about what I do, but you want to know more and continue the conversation by being on the email list, just go to quantlabs.net. That's it. Get some free books as well, the PDFs. So you have all those. Leave it at that. Thanks for watching. I'll post this on my Facebook page, but not the group because, well, hey, good old Facebook has restricted me. Leave it at that. Thanks for watching. Hopefully you got some uses out of the delays, the technical challenges, and how I overcame them. Over and out. Later.